Good morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Wherever you're at. Father, we thank you for this message, and I ask for boldness to say what you want me to say, no more, no less. We thank you, Lord, for this message to help people that are stuck in some of these movements, and that this message would be shared to those people that need to hear it in this hour. And we promise to give you alone all the praise and all the glory, and we thank you, Father, in this time, we need to have our relationship with you true, not on false movements, but true walking with you in your word today. And we thank you, Father, for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what the true gospel really is today. In Jesus' name. I want to start off with, and usually I don't do a lot of personal messages. I sat under so many narcissistic preachers, and I got so tired of them talking about themselves. That's all they do, is tell stories about themselves. And now they're starting this again, learning how to tell stories. I get all this mail because I'm in the ministry, and now they're taking classes on how to tell better stories. I'm sticking to the Bible. How about you?
Amen.
So you can open up in 1 Timothy 6. We're going to get there. But I just wanted to say why I left some of the messages, in particular the faith message, and then I went into the prophetic message, and why I personally left it. I was in those movements. Now the faith message, and I'm not saying this to hurt people or to come against any preachers. There's a lot of good people everywhere that are sincerely hooked up into these teachings that really believe that this is the correct thing. And that's why I feel like I need to, being that I preached on not so much the faith message, that really did turn me off, and I'll maybe share some of the reasons why. But I went more into the prophetic message, and maybe that'll be next week. We'll see what happens. But I wanted to share some things personally. I just jotted it down before we start this. I watch people die with the same things other people died of. I remember a mother came to me, and she was 30-some years old. She was a nurse, and she was going to this Bible school back in the day. And she denied her reality. And she kept confessing she was healed. And she basically died right in my arms. And it metastasized, and she died. And, of course, everyone said, well, she didn't have enough faith. But that left a mark on me because I knew she loved God with all her heart. And she had a little daughter that she left. She would have never left this daughter without really believing what she believed in. And I had so many cases like this being in the ministry and pastoring a church that I just started to see that people are dying of the same things that this message is supposed to be delivering people out of. So that was one of the first things. And then my brother went to one of these the main Bible school at the time, and he would tell me the crazy things that were going on in those Bible schools. And this message was taken to extreme. And unfortunately, that's what our flesh does. It takes everything and runs with it and goes crazy. But I started seeing even my friends, my pastor friends, dying of the same diseases that we're supposed to be not touched by, right? Because we're faith people. They were just more positive when they died. Because you get a message that you cannot be negative. You cannot, and there's nothing wrong with, I don't like being around negative, depressing people either. And so some ways I'm glad I heard some of this, but it's taken way too far. And I just want to help people in these last few years I'm preaching. I just want to help people out of some of the things that I was in that no one talks about. I saw no love for hurting people. And that really bothered me because these so-called ministers and churches looked down on people that were ill, that were sick. You were told, just believe more, get more faith. Well, how do you get more faith? Well, of course, they have all the conventions and all the books. Back then, we read books. And then we preached out of people's books because we thought they heard from God. So we were all young, starting off in the 70s. We were all starting our churches off. And we had one of the main churches that had a building back in the day. So everybody came to our building. And I would say we love God with all of our heart. It wasn't that we were trying to be hurtful or deceptive. This is what we thought was God. It was really God. And we would have died believing this, and many have. Other people have been so turned off by this message that they've backslid totally. And they'll never enter a church again because they feel betrayed and they got mad at God because the word didn't work for them. Like the word is some kind of a mechanic, physical thing that you put out there that's got to do something. So that really affected me too. And I saw no love. There was no love. They preached on love, the force of love, but it didn't show. In many places, it didn't show for the poor, the hurting, the people that needed love. They kind of had to measure up. I had to submit and obey to leadership. A lot was taught back in the 70s and 80s, even the 90s, on authority and submission to leaders. And then, of course, the wives had to submit to the husbands, which the Bible says that, but it got overboard. Everything was excessive. And I saw a lot of, including myself, you felt like you had no voice. And you lost yourself. You lost what you thought. You lost what, because you're told to submit to all these prophets and these apostles and these pastors, that you don't want to disobey God. So I say a lot of people lost themselves and got very confused. And this one lady, her husband died in a plane crash. And she said he was so on fire for God, just loved God. And they went to this Bible school and it all became about himself. And she ended up reading Dave Hunt's book on the seduction of Christianity. And I think he might have even quoted her in there. But my brother personally knew them when he went to school there. And he said they were so full of the word. He just loved them. They knew their Bible. But she said they went there like that, but they came out different. And then again, they were died in a plane crash, which you're not, you know, faith Christians don't have plane crashes, right? Nothing ever bad's supposed to happen to them. Well, this message can be preached when you're young, but as you get older, things happen, right? So I saw a lot. I saw the pride. I always saw the pride in it. That's one thing I always preached on, a lot about pride and about covetousness. I came from a pretty simple background. My dad, you know, was an alcoholic, and my mom died when I was young, just in junior high still, and so I never was, you know, saw a lot of wealth and riches. So I started getting connecting with these preachers and how they exploited people and used their resources on themselves. That stumbled me from day one. And I can tell you, I was with the biggest and the best preachers back in the day. Well, why haven't we heard of you? Because I didn't go. I was asked to preach, I think, so many times in different countries. I didn't go because I had to raise my two kids. So that saved me from a lot of this, but I was behind the scenes with, well, of course, one of the most famous woman preachers in the world, still probably is, I don't know. But she was also turned off to the word of faith because she had cancer and she was feeling condemned, and that's kind of when I hooked up with her back in the days and was very strong friends with hers for at least 15 years till I started seeing there's something just wrong with this message. But I saw the pride in it, and I saw how people would boast on stage and how much they had, and I just knew this was wrong because my heart's always been for the down and outers. My dad was the same way. We had a heart for people that were hurting. And I didn't see, and I would lead a lot of people to the Lord, and they'd come to church and get turned off and never come back again when someone else was preaching because they didn't feel loved. I had a lot of experience with that. And then the minister's family came last. Back in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it was all about ministry. I don't know if it is today or not because I'm not in all that, but back then, the pastor or the preacher was traveling around the world, and the most neglected people. And I don't think they meant it to do it, but it's just what happened is the wives and the children got very left out, very abused, no attention paid to them, too busy to do stuff. And I think that's why I personally decided not to travel, because I didn't want to leave my kids. I knew what it was like. My mom and dad both worked. I'd come home and there'd be no one at home. And I remember in 5 years old going to school by myself. These things left an impression. I didn't want to have my children feel they didn't have a parent because one was always traveling, and I didn't want them to think that both of you had to travel. I don't know, so I just got turned off to traveling. Ministry was obsessive. You had church every day. morning, noon, and night. Back then we had Saturdays, prayer every day. We had Sundays twice, Wednesdays. We had everything. It was all, your whole life revolved around church. Some of you can't relate to that because now it's the opposite. But then that's what we did. And if you weren't there Sunday night, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you? Well, you're just backslidden. You know, you don't come to every service. Very controlling and manipulative, but nobody really meant to be that way. We were just passing along what we were taught. And all these young preachers, this was a movement. And I got to know a lot of them in Minnesota here, but this happened. The ministry became obsessive, and then you kind of measured yourself by how big your church was and how many members you had. And I saw the pastors so depressed behind the scenes because they didn't make it like a lot of people thought they should have more people, and it was all about numbers and people and your offerings, and I don't know, that stuff just turned me off. And I never wanted to be famous, so I didn't have that desire, but the woman friend that I had, she goes, I can't go 3 days without preaching. I have to preach or you don't want to be around me. And I thought, are you serious? You know, because they don't know how to live their life. It's always in front of people. This is just the way it was. So I left the faith message and I went into the prophetic movement, which even got me weirder. And why are you saying that? Because I feel somebody's got to say it. And the prophet, we're going to get into this, but we're young, we're hungry, we want to hear from God. And so these movements, they draw you in and you can't wait to hear the next word from that person because they've got a better relationship with God than you do. So you're hunger, you're zealous, but after the wrong things. But of course, we didn't know it. We thought this was right. We always found ourselves quoting brother so-and-so. Even talking to people, well, brother so-and-so says this. Instead of saying what the Bible says, we were trained, read their books, go sit in their meetings, go in their conventions, and then you quote them. Little did we know we were being drawn away from the true gospel and God. We were starting to follow men. And we started looking to men. And then no one could share real life trials. You can't share what you're going through because people look down at you. I remember when I had my second son and he had Hirschsprung's disease and he almost died. And people would condemn me at church and tell me that, you know, something was wrong with me, why I had this problem, and on I could go. So you end up shutting down and you're not real anymore because you have to deny your reality to be in faith. And I shared that last week. I'm not going to go into that. That was the world we lived in. And it makes very strange people. It makes fake people because you can't share your hurting. And then the weirdos would come. Every week the same people would come up for prayer. You know, it was just the same ones. So then people just didn't even want to pray. You know what I'm talking about. But nobody could share real life and trials. And I don't mean to say that, you know, in a bad way. It's just people just kept thinking, I got to go for prayer because this isn't working for me. It wasn't working for me. So they'd go to every prayer line and every meeting and every place to get healed because they were told, you, if you're saved, you're going to be healed. And this brings me back to my grandmother was talking to me once about how she took all, my mom and her two sisters all died of cancer in their 40s. And so she started going to some of these faith healing meetings. And she was crushed because none of them got healed. And this was back in the day. But so I had all these stories around me that, and my brother going to school there, telling me all these stories about people were giving their, you know, giving. Now we have to give. Not because we have to, but if we don't share, the gospel's not going to get out. And preachers have to have money to live, okay? But what this has been taught to us is an extreme. And it's wrong. And it's all about the preacher and the minister. And if you give God this, you're going to get this back. All that teaching was what we were taught, and I just knew that wasn't true. That part of it, there's some things that I just thought, I don't buy this, you know. But there were other things in the prophetic movement that I did. That's next week, maybe. But I left this message, and I went into that movement, and then I found myself, well, God, this guy, I got to sit under him, because Jesus came 8 times to him and sat on his bed, and boy, I want to know what Jesus told him, don't you? I remember telling my dad how you got to listen to this brother so-and-so. Jesus came and appeared to him. I mean, I believed it, and I'm one of these people. It's bad, but when I'm in, I'm in. I go all the way. I'm going to go into this. I'm going to go into this. And if I'm on some whatever, Tim can say, yeah, I am a little, I'm in it. I want it. That's how I was back in the day. I thought this was real, and I wanted, I was saved, and I wanted to help people. But there was a lot of abuse, spiritual abuse. We had the confession police. You didn't say that right. Well, something people would go around and they would correct your speech. Some of you remember that. Well, that causes fake people. They don't want to talk around you if you're going to correct their speech. Well, your words have power and you have what you say. You have what you say. Oh, that was a common thing back in the 90s. But it was surrounded by narcissists, and the pastors were people I didn't want to be around. Isn't that sad? We'd have pastors' meetings and I'd leave. And I'm like, why are you? These people were so self-centered, so materialistic, controlling, and prideful. I would rather go home and be with my kids. So I darted out a lot of times because I saw that. So enough about what I went through, but some people need to come out of these movements, and it takes a miracle of God because it's so ingrained into you. And that's why I feel we need people in every area of life right now to tell the truth. And it costs you. I mean, even last week, some things happened because I have a lot of friends that were friends in this movement. This is what I grew up with. And they don't like what I'm preaching right now. But got to do what I got to do. So you need to help people that are still in this. Send and share this message to people that are struggling, because a lot of people are no longer in church. That turned them off. It didn't work. And where are they today? And we're in the end times now, and my heart is always to share it with people. You have to have a relationship with the Lord, because these end times are here. They're not coming. They're here. Famine and all these other things are coming upon the earth like we've never experienced. We have to make sure we have faith in Him. This message was faith in yourself, which was humanism. This was a part of the humanistic movement, like it or not. I'm not going to sugarcoat this message. I prayed for boldness. Now, E.W. Kenyon is noted for founding the Word of Faith, or the faith message. Kenyon was influenced by the New Age. I don't believe he started it. I think some of these, there's been a lot of other teachers that preach some of this stuff, New Thought, some of the things I've taught on before, New Age and Christian Science. But he was involved in these teachings of his day, and his writings reflect the Eastern religion and the cults. The Word of Faith in its many branches. Now today, you might not even call it that, but it's got a branch out there. It's got a movement out there. The NAR, New Apostolic Reformation, I've got a message on that. They have many branches today that are still rooted in this message. So even though you're not seeing it or hearing this, the roots of the poison are here, and I want you to be able to identify it so that your walk with the Lord is secure and that your faith is in Him. Because I don't care how many times you confess something, you cannot create a miracle. You can see that. If you lived long enough, you know. With me, I had sinus infections. I fasted. I prayed. I had every pastor in the world preach over me, pray over me, I mean. And I still was struggling with this. And I finally got some answers and some help now. If you have sinus trouble, I can't really go and be medical on here, but please email me. Because I know this last few months I had one that almost really took me out. And God's given me some answers. And I want to help people. That's really my mission, is to help people in these end times. And if you're struggling with those, I will tell you what I'm doing right now. It's really helping me, which I've went to so many ear, nose, and throat specialists, and I got angry. Like, why hasn't anybody told me the simple solutions that you can do with these sinus infestations? You can't just live on antibiotics. So anyway, I want to give hope to those that need it, and contact me there and I'll talk with you. I feel your pain, but I do see hope now. So anyway, the whole thing about these roots and these branches is man is in charge. We are not in charge. God is in charge. God is in charge. So this is a part of a humanistic thinking that we have to come through in these end times, or you'll never live in peace. You'll always be condemned. You'll always feel bondage because you're not measuring up. You must not have done it right. Something's wrong with you. That's the message. So this is a type of humanism, Christian humanism. Well, is there such a thing as Christian humanism? Well, this message was based on works and formulas that do not work. They say they work, but I want you to look up Death by Faith, and it talks about all the faith preachers that preach this and how they died. And if it didn't work for them, guess what? It's not the true gospel. So many of these teachers are obsessed with money and materialism. Yep. It's all about money. You cannot serve God and mammon, the Bible says. So if you're just serving, I mean, I don't even like to talk about it because I've been so turned off by it, and I know a lot of people have, that I probably should say something. But I feel if they hear from God, they'll know. And it's amazing how we've gotten along, you know, because God's spoken to certain people, and it's just like, thank you, Lord. So I know I have to keep talking. But many of these teachers are possessed with money and materialism. And this one preacher that I know very close said, I can serve God and mammon. What does that tell you? They're serving mammon. You can't serve them both because God's going to ask you to do things. He says, pick up your cross and deny yourself. This message is lust. It doesn't teach you how to deny yourself. It doesn't tell you how to live right. It just talks. It takes you into realms of you really are control of your world. Many of the teachers are obsessed with money and materialism. It's the gospel of me, myself, and I. Kenyon mixed Christians' science with Christianity. And what does that lead to? Confusion. How can it be Christian? It's not Christian, and it's not science. Now, this is hard because a lot of people that are preaching this stuff today will come against you. You've got relatives. I know I talked to you. Your sister's still in it. Your brother's in it. Your husband's in it. One's free and one isn't. It's a battle to come out of this. But if you hunger for the truth, God will show you the truth. But it's not just easy. You've got to dig your way out of deception. I've dug my way out for years. Now, Kenyon mixed Christian science with it. It brings confusion. And if you, I did a deep dive in Christian science today because I thought I want to make sure what I'm saying is true. You won't believe the similarities of Christian science and these messages. And I was going to bring it, but I don't have time for it tonight. But Kenyon mixed these together. He used Mary Baker Eddy's writings and teachings. I studied that this week, and really it's amazing some of the similarities, but they don't call it that. Others followed Kenyon, a so-called prophet that claims Jesus Christ appeared to him 8 times. A lot of you that are in the movement, you know who I'm talking about. Why don't you mention names? Because I don't want to mention names. I'm not trying to hurt people or their families. I'm just trying to help people see the error so that we can stand in these end times. Having done all to stand, we can stand. Now, if you question their visions and teachings, the leadership of the churches will begin to shun you. We met with some people a couple weeks ago, a month ago maybe now, and they said, can we meet with you and ask questions? And I thought, well, of course, you know. Why couldn't you? Well, they were at a place where the pastor rebuked him for asking questions, and that's this year. And I was, or last year, yeah, this year. And I was like, last year. I was like, it's still going on. You can't ask questions because they're authority. And that's really the Nicolaitans, where they're above you and you're just down here. So if you question their visions, their teachings, they shun you and you are not allowed to ask questions. What's the sign of a cult? Do you know what a sign of a cult is? Led by a preacher that claims to have extra-biblical revelations. This includes visions and angelic visitations. Of course, the one that I followed had this, and I was like, wow, how cool to be able to. In one of his visitations, he said, don't pray anymore. Just command your angels. Well, the Bible does talk about angels, and I've taught on this before. I was like, I have to repent so much on things that I've read in books that was true. You think if they're Christian, they're going to tell you the truth. Well, to them, it is truth. To them, it is what they believe. So it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me to test the spirits. Nobody else is going to do it. Test the Spirit. Is this the Spirit of God speaking through these people? Or is this a false prophet? Boy, I didn't think I'd ever say those words. False prophet that's giving you extra biblical revelation to lead you away from the true Christ and unto yourself or unto other men. And then you start waiting for, what's the new word for 2022? What's the prophet going to say? You know, you start looking to men. So a cult is led by a leader that claims to have all these extra biblical revelations, and you're not to question them. So you start following, little by little, you follow a man. This includes visions, angelic visitations. And the example I'm going to give you is William Branham. Now, William Branham, I've taught a message on this before, but when I first got saved, everybody was talking about William Branham and how he had this miracle ministry. In the tent revivals, he was off on some theology, they'd say, but you can't deny his miracles. Well, I would say if they're preaching William Branham at all today, run. Get out. That's a false prophet. And I'm just going to give you some highlights of what I studied this week. He said that his angel gave him power. So every time this angel was there, he could, you know, get your name and number and phone number. But if someone was full of the Holy Ghost or resisted him, he'd have trouble. That's something. But he said, I'll stick on what I said. He said his angels gave him power, not the Holy Spirit. And listen to this. He said this in his book. If he did not do what that voice told him to do, he would suffer greatly. Now, does that sound like something God would do? Make you suffer if you don't obey that voice? Branham was a false prophet. He said Jesus would return in 1977, along with the destruction of America. This is in Church Ages, page 322. Either God lied, or Branham received his information from a lying demonic source. That's pretty heavy right there. Why would you follow somebody? Of course, he died before that time, but he said this was coming. Well, we've seen 1977 come and gone. Oh, yeah. He preached the serpent seed teaching. Why do you go back to William Branham? Because a lot of these movements are based on the roots of these teachings. Sometimes they don't mention their names, but you need to see they're not preaching the gospel. He preached the serpent seed teaching that Cain was produced, get this, through intercourse between Eve and the serpent in the garden. The serpent seed. Branham believed the serpent seed was a missing link between man and monkeys. He despised women. This is in his own My Life Story Spoken Word Publications on page 27. This is a quote from him. The women, they're not worth a good clean bullet to kill them with. That's right. And I hated women. And I have to watch every move now to keep from still thinking the same thing. Who would want to follow a man that hates women? And we've lifted him up in the Pentecostal charismatic circles as some great miracle sign and wonder movement guy. But the Bible says in Genesis 4:11, Adam knew his wife and she conceived and bore Cain. Not the serpent. He believed the zodiac and Egyptian pyramids are equal to scripture. That's witchcraft, astrology, and the New Age all use pyramids and the zodiac for divination, predicting of the future. You have to see if you're following any kind of these movements where their source is. Go read Deuteronomy 18:9-12. Branham has a phoenix. If you know about the phoenix, and a pyramid placed on his grave. Signs of a cult, led by a strong charismatic leader that claims to have visions and angelic visitations, going to heaven and hell, etc. A cult revolves around the man and his revelations. So why did we not catch this? Why has not a lot of people expose this, that we're following a man and his revelations that are extra biblical. Also, there's always, in any kind of a cult, there's a heavy emphasis on money. I won't even go into the stories that I've lived through. But we do need to give, and we need to help people. There are true people out there that are doing God's work, but not the way they teach it. From a former Word of Faith preacher, you can find this on the internet, how come he left this movement. He first of all got convicted of pride. He was pastoring, and I want to read some of his words. I realized that over the years I had been transformed being on fire for God to being on fire for me. Everything was about me. My vision, my church, my success, my reputation, my dream, my church, my services, my anointing, me. It had become all about me. But how did this happen? Everything in my life revolved around the prosperity of my vision and things that I wanted. I took out my notebook and I took a look at my confessions. Of course, we all had to write them down. They were all about me and my vision, things that I wanted. It shocked me at how my relationship with God had become all about prosperity and what I could believe God for. Now, you think this is an isolated case? It's not. I was raised when this movement started. Pastors all over the world, not just the United States, but the world were preaching this. And they're all on TV. My life had become full of faith formulas, confessions, mechanics, and legalism. As I studied, prayed, and meditated, I could find nothing that I was doing wrong. I was just becoming a product of what I had been teaching for years. And if you're a minister listening to this, I know you were too. That's what we did. We basically vomited up what we were taught. We did everything the way that our teachers taught us. He said, I had become humanistic. My view of God had become inward instead of Godward. I began to re-examine my doctrines and my teachings and realize I had deceived myself into thinking that I was in control of my life. This is the big thing. I was in the control of my life and circumstances. I had taught and believed that I could control everything with my faith and my confession. Now it's more decrees and declaring. It's just in another branch now. So I began to revisit these teachings and do a more in-depth study. I started listening to ministers that I would have mocked a year ago. And this is the other thing. Preachers started mocking. They started mocking the preachers that didn't preach like this. It's just like, we're above you. Pride, right? Now, this pastor is still testifying here, and he's talked about an error was confession obsession. I don't know if that's going on or not, but I know I've been around some people that had shingles on their back, and their wife goes, don't tell him that you see that because he is denying it has a reality. You know, he doesn't have shingles. The guy was so weird. I was just like, what? We were just like, he was like a fake person, and this was like 3 years ago. I was like, oh no, it's still going on. This teaching is still really affecting people. He couldn't confess anything, because if he confessed it, he'd have that. Well, he already had it. We could see it. That's a craziness of people destroyed their families over this. Am I being too harsh? The thing that most attracted me to the Word of Faith is that it gave me control of my life. It gave me a say in what was happening to me. It gave me a say in my future. The Word of Faith message is anchored on the idea that every word spoken from your mouth has a creative force or nature of its own. Teachers that words have power, they teach that. And that when you are spoken in faith, they will come to pass exactly as they were spoken. The same principle. This is still being taught, I know, on TV. Some of these preachers have their own television stations now, and some of them have their own schools. The same principle will also work in reverse, they say. Talking negative or talking fear will produce negative things in your life. If you go around talking health, then you'll get health. If you go around talking defeat, you will get defeated. There, you've just sat in a seminar. The problem is that many people take this teaching to the extreme and end up in total bondage. My brother, I was talking to him today when he went to school. It was the third year of that school. And he said they were teaching on giving. So everybody started giving their cars away to get new ones. The problem is they hadn't paid for their old car. I saw people throw their glasses away, their, you know, contacts away. They were healed. They walked around and bumped into everything. But this was the craziness of you can have what you say. And it didn't work. It wasn't taught correctly, and it didn't have enough boundaries. And I had a friend on staff that is a good example. This is the same pastor talking. He took this teaching to its limits. One day he called in sick. The next day he showed up at work, and I asked him what had been wrong with him. I found out he'd had a cyst removed from his jaw the day before. He wouldn't answer me. He was afraid that if he said it, he would have it. Well, he already had it. Denying your reality. Another friend came to church with a metal splinter in his eye. His eye was swollen shut, but he was going around and telling everyone that nothing was wrong with his eye. Insane. But that is what this teaching will do to a person. They become superstitious and legalistic. What's worse is they become confession police, always monitoring and correcting everyone else's confession. It teaches you to speak and create things. This is witchcraft and humanism, New Age and Christian Science. It makes you, if you want to be in those movements, that's fine. If you believe in the law of attraction, that's fine. You believe whatever you want to believe. But people that are truly walking and they want to walk with the Lord, they need to know the separation of, is this witchcraft? Well, a lot of people are in witchcraft today. But there's a lot of hungry people out there that don't want to be in witchcraft. They want to be in faith. Yes. So I'm preaching to them. It makes you feel in control, and I'm in charge of your life. Well, that's why we got saved. We didn't want to be in control of our life. Why did you come to Jesus? You ran out of self. And this is what makes me mad about the devil. Here you're so hungry, you're saved, and you want to serve the Lord. And this teaching was around in the 70s, so big, you could hardly miss it, really. And you wanted to serve the Lord. Well, it's teaching you how to control your own life. Here you're back to the same thing you came out of. Trying to, you see what I'm saying? We got saved, what? To surrender, to yield, to have a relationship with Him. Okay, if you confessed and followed the faith formulas and didn't receive, they had an answer for that. I'm just saying, I don't know how long I'm going. So if you, too real here, I guess. I never did learn how to be political. If you confessed and followed these formulas and you didn't receive, there's an answer for that. They say you did not believe. You're not believing. You're not believing harder. Well, how do I believe harder? You need more faith. Well, how do I get more faith? That was always my question. I just need more faith. Or they said you had sin in your life. And the funny thing is, in this message, they never really talked on holiness. They never talked on lust. They never talked on covetousness, which is 1 Peter 6, which we're going to read on. And these are the scriptures that I used to preach at my old church. I preached on pride, and I preached on covetousness, because I saw it. That's the things that I did see. I wish I would have saw more, but it's always your fault. If you're not receiving from God, He's done everything He's ever going to do. How many times have you heard that? It's your fault. Well, do you know how much condemnation people have been put under through that? Now, if you want to believe in Christian Science, go ahead. If you want to believe in the New Age, if you want to believe in the secret, the law of attraction, go right ahead. But if you want the true gospel, that is not what the gospel is saying. You can't take scriptures and make it into a formula. And that's what's happened here. You got to read all the scriptures. Who are they speaking to? That's not my promise. That's who, you know, all this stuff is taken out. It's all about me. Even some people have written their name in every scripture. It's always your fault. This teaching elevates man and it lowers God. Framing our own world with our words. Boy, aren't we something? You know what that is? That is humanism. The list is long of famous preachers who died sick. Again, read the article, Death by Faith. Now in 1 Timothy 6, let's look there. And we're not going to read this whole thing because we don't have time, but I'm just going to highlight a couple things. Verse 3, if any man teach otherwise, what they're talking about here, we be servants, we honor people. There's very little honor in the world today. But they're not preaching wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. He's proud, not knowing, but doting or dotting about questions with strife of words. Wherefore cometh envy, strife, railings, evil, surmising. The strife and envy between ministries was unbelievable. My church is bigger than your church. I got more people than you do. I think that's why I don't advertise anything. I just can't stand that marketing spirit that's gotten into the church world. It's so much pressure on ministers. You have no idea what they really go through trying to compete and trying to be a part of the latest and the greatest. And verse 5, supposing that gain is godliness, because I have a jet and I have a mansion, I'm really godly. Really? There's a lot of people that have all this. Just turn on the reality shows. They're not godly at all. You have to know what to do with riches, which he tells you. But he said, supposing that gain is godliness, what are you supposed to do? Turn on the TV, go to their seminar, read their books? That's what I did. Withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. How many people just chasing riches, chasing wealth, chasing this preacher, they have no peace. They ended up being broke at a higher level, so in debt, trying to prove to everybody that they have faith. Whatever you have, be thankful for it. You don't go to the bank and buy something to impress other people. Guess what? They forget about you. They don't care. You're stuck with the payments. But they that will be rich fall into temptation. I've never heard any of them talk about the temptation and the snare of riches. And snare unto many foolish and harmful, what is it? Lusts. Lust opens the door. Pornography opens the door. All these different things, they open up the door to the demonic. You don't hear much on holiness. You hear all about how to make money and how to have a dream and what's your vision, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, the love of it, it's not money. Money is nothing, but it's the love of it. It's how much you'll do. People murder for money. People steal for money. They end up in prison. I'm like, how dumb is that? But the love of it, the greed, the can't have enough, you're never satisfied. This minister has this, he's not satisfied, he's got to impress more preachers. It's a game. For the love of money is the root of all evil, while some have, what? They covet after. They have erred. This is what I'm talking about, erring from the faith, and proceed, pierce themselves through with many sorrows. But man of God, what are you supposed to do? Flee these things. Follow after righteousness. Now there's teaching on the force of righteousness, the force of love, the force of forgiveness. I was looking up all the things. God is not a force. That's right. That's part of the metaphysical sciences. God is not a force. These things, follow after true righteousness, your right standing with the Lord. Godliness, faith. There's a true faith. Our faith and trust is in him. Jesus talked about faith, and it was always people that were trusting in him. He didn't say go down and sit in Brother So-and-so's convention, 7 ways to get more faith. Jesus didn't teach this. They take the Mark 11:24 and they build a whole metaphysical science around it. Yep. But we're supposed to follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love. Where's the love? Are you helping hurting people? Are you helping, or it's turned inward now. It's all about me, 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 me. Patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. We have eternal life. You got saved. You have eternity. We're not living our best life now. I'm sorry to disappoint you. Well, I know many of you have never. Those people dropped off years ago listening to me. You're not going to live your best life now because the Bible says you got to pick up your cross. Right. Follow him. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. And sometimes God will tell you to do stuff you don't want to do. You'd rather just turn on this pornography crap. And guess what happens when you fill yourself with that? You no longer love your wife. You no longer love your husband because you have... Why am I getting off into this? Someone must need it. You're off into this lustful fantasy that the devil has opened up the door for you. Now you can't be happy and content in life because you're filthy. You're watching stuff that's little boys that are playboys. A lot of them are boys. People have no idea. We won't go there. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Give thee charge. And goes on and on here. Charge them, verse 17. Okay, you have money. Is that a curse? No. If God's blessed you, it's what you do with it. He said, charge them that are rich. So there's going to be rich Christians in the world. Charge them that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Don't trust in it. God's given it to you. Bless him. Bless him for it. But in the living God, trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God wants you to enjoy money. But what are you supposed to do if you're rich? Do good. That they may be rich in good works, ready to distribute. Some people just sit on their wealth. You're supposed to distribute it when God tells you to. Willing to communicate. Laying up, what's going to happen? You might not see the rewards in this life. You might not get a hundredfold return. But you're storing for yourself a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. We're doing this for the Lord. We want a relationship with him. Sometimes we have to fast, not eat as much, quit hearing all this stuff we're hearing, and focus more on what he's telling you. Get back to that simplicity of reading the Bible, walking with him, not looking for all this distractions out here. You have eternal life. Let's rejoice in eternal life. Amen. And listen to this, verse 20. These are important scriptures. I'm trying to close here. O Timothy, keep thou which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Okay, can I sell you? Clean up your mouth. If you're nasty and you're foul, you know what? Oh, quit making excuses for your vain babblings. Yeah. And your vain and profane speech. Hello? We think because we're Christians we can say anything. Well, God's watching us. Where's the fear of the Lord in our life? Vain babblings, profane, and oppositions of science, falsely so called. Here we go. We're going into these, everything science now. Science away from what God taught you. You know, we can sin and make excuses for it. You know what that happens? We get a bad conscience. We sear our conscience because we make excuses. Well, my wife da-da-da, so I turn on pornography. Well, so-and-so is raised this way. We make excuses, but in the sight of God, there is no excuse, right? Someday we're going to answer to him. This is old holiness preaching. Some people don't like it. It makes you squirm. But which some professing have erred concerning the faith. They've erred from the faith, off on another faith. Okay. So 1 Timothy 6, keep that with you. That's been a chapter that I've read. Chasing wealth and being all money-minded, serving mammon, and a culture is a lot of manipulation and hype for the desperate and the gullible. This is why I feel bad for the desperate. The desperate will do a lot of things. When you're desperate, you will do anything. And if you're gullible, I will say we were all gullible back then in the 70s, and we believed everything. We didn't test the spirits. We didn't test because we didn't know. These people know their Bibles. They have schools, and they have libraries of books, and who are you to question that? This is what we are up against. But you come to a point in your life where you say, this is wrong. This is wrong. It's not helping people, it's hurting people. Some people are getting rich. The rich are getting richer, and the poor, just like the pyramid. It's like some people are just using and manipulating, gullible. You know God hates that. You know God hates that. Faith is simply belief in God, devotion to God. Come back to the simplicity of being a Christian. Read your Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by nothing. It doesn't say once. It comes by speaking. If it's not the Bible, you can quote scriptures, and that's good. You can have scriptures inside of you. That's good. It's good to memorize that, but not to dictate to God of what he's going to do. You reverence him. You fear him because of what Jesus did on the cross. The faith that saves is given through the message about Jesus. Faith comes. And then it's not just getting saved. It's walking with him. Walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. He is the author and the finisher. Hebrews 12:2. Read that. He started this. If you're hungry, he's going to show you the truth. yeah, we've made some bad turns. We've fallen into some different things. But if your heart's right, God's with you. And this might be a call to somebody to come out from amongst this bad teaching. If you know someone, again, just share this and help somebody that's stuck in this because nobody's told them the other side. Sometimes you have to hear both sides before you make a decision. Another thing, there's a fixation on faith. Just fixated. Faith is elevated, taught, and idolized. How to get it, how to release it, how to write your own ticket. Faith, the key to victory, spiritual laws and formulas, force of faith, force of righteousness, a force of forgiveness, a force of love. God is not a force. He's not a force. There is no force. These are all metaphysical terms, and it's very anti-Christ, actually. Faith is trusting in God, not a tool. It's not a force. It's a relationship and a belief in God, trusting his word. Jesus commented on people's faith all the time in the Bible. Their faith and belief was in him. They hadn't been listening to these teachings. They hadn't been to these seminars. He saw that they trusted him. He sees when you're trusting him. Don't let these false teachings bring you down, make you condemned. Sometimes you'd feel worse than anything because this isn't working for me. Why is this not working for me? I'm not healed and everybody else is condemning me because I don't have enough faith. This is bondage. This is bondage because guess what? We have a devil loose and our bodies aren't built to last forever. So things are happening in the world. They're happening now. And we trust God in our trials. We trust God in our sufferings. That's what Paul did. People that were back in the school, my brother told me they threw out Paul as an apostle because he'd had too many negative confessions. Wow. So I said a lot of this. So in closing, this message philosophy puts man in charge and his life and circumstances, and now it's up to me. This is what humanism is all about, replacing God with me. Wasn't it subtle? Yes, for many of us it came out of that. The point of excluding all need for God is humanism. The point of excluding all need for God. So let's pray. Father, we need you. We humble ourselves. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We ask you to forgive us for the things we've taught that were wrong, the things we believe that were wrong, for our ignorance, for our gullibility, for our pride. We can all say amen to many things. But Father, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We want to finish well. We want to endure to the end. We don't want to pass on things that are not truth. We don't want to stand before you saying, I preached a false gospel. We want to preach the simplicity of the true gospel. And sometimes we have to undo what we've learned so we can hear it. Somebody's got to say, a whistleblower has to say these things to wake all the cobwebs out of our head. It's layer by layer. Some of these teachings have been so many years ingrained in us. It takes time. It takes time to get our focus back on the Lord and off of ourself. And we're in this because what we did wrong. And Father, we thank you that you are the finisher of our faith. And our faith is in you. And we thank you for this message. It'll go to the people that really need to hear it. There are people that are hurting from this message. People that are backslid that'll never enter a church again because they think all ministers want is your money. And it's been all over the television airwaves. We need to let them know that's not the gospel. Jesus still saves. Jesus wants us delivered. He wants us to reach out to him. And we thank you, Father, for people to really be born again in this hour because this is the end times. There's a lot of things I'd love to preach on, but I can't because I'll be booted off. Even these things, there's a very short window we can say these things. So, Father, we thank you for giving us revelation in you and what your word says, not extra biblical, but what your word, there's so much in there we haven't even read because we've been so focused on what men says. So help us love the word. Get back into reading our Bibles for ourselves and test and try the spirits of what people are preaching. We shouldn't believe anything unless we know that they're preaching the true gospel, not some man-made Christian science. New Age, and the New Age is going to be big. It's going to be hard to find. But if we get them rooted and grounded in your truth now, they're going to stand. So we thank you, Father, for giving us that standing grace, and we need your grace in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her, and be sure to check out her YouTube playlists for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org website page and click on the messages button on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a gift button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.
Trade your helmet for a crown of peace at the altar.